ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलशाखाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो वी स्टार्ट विथ 11:36। अर्जुन उवाच स्थाने ऋषिकेश तव प्रकृत्य जगत् प्रहसिष्यति अनुराज्यते च रक्षांसि भीतानि दिशो द्रवन्ति सर्वे नमस्यन्ति च सिद्धसङ्गः। Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened, and as a great devotee and friend of Supreme Master of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintained object of worship for the devotee and destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of the natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheist is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Yeah, okay, so any comment or question? Okay, next verse, Sudhami Madhuri.
Hare Krishna. 11.37. Kasmachate nam namedayan mahatman kariyeshe brahmano abhyadi kartari ananda deveshe jagannivasa tamaksharam sata sattaparam yat. Translation. O great one, greater even than Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer the respectful obeisance unto you? O limitless one, God of gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendent to this material manifestation proper. By this offering of obeisance, Arjuna indicates that Krishna is worshipable by everyone. He is all-pervading and he is the soul of every soul. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Mahatma, which means that he is most magnanimous and unlimited. Ananda indicates that there is nothing which is not covered by the influence and energy of the Supreme Lord. And Devesha means that he is the controller of all demigods and is above them all. He is the shelter of the whole universe. Arjuna also thought that it was fitting that all the perfect living entities and powerful demigods offer their respectful obeisances unto him, because no one is greater than him. Arjuna especially mentions that Krishna is greater than Brahma because Brahma is created by him. Brahma is born out of the lotus stem grown from the navel abdomen of Garbhodayeshaya Vishnu, who is Krishna's plenary expansion. Therefore, Brahma and Lord Shiva, who is born of Brahma, and all other demigods must offer their respectful obeisances. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord is respected by Lord Shiva and Brahma and similar other demigods. The word Aksharam is very significant because this material creation is subject to destruction, but the Lord is above this material creation. He is the cause of all causes, and being so, he is superior to all the conditioned soul within this material nature as well as the material cosmic manifestation itself. He is therefore all great supreme.
Okay, any comments? Okay, I am again requesting all the devotees to join on time. It's quite late actually, you know, because of, I think everyone is waiting when someone will call and then everyone starts joining. So whenever I am giving a time, I think, you know, If you are ready by that time, then please start calling. If you are not ready, then just message that we'll join after 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Otherwise, this will keep on delaying. Okay. And please message also in the group once you have joined. Next. 38. So who has joined? Angel Matari, you are there? And Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Oh, yeah.
I
have
38. 38, yeah. Purusha Puranas Tvam Asya Vishvasya Param Nidhanam Vetashi Redyam Cha Param Cha Dham Tvayatatam Vishvam Anantarupa. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifest cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes, O limitless form. This whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. Purpose. Everything is resting on the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the ultimate rest. Nidhanam means that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. He is the knower of everything that is happening in this world. And if knowledge has any end, he is the end of all knowledge. Therefore, he is the known and the knowable. He is the object of knowledge because he is all-pervading. Because he is the cause in the spiritual world, he is transcendental. He is also the chief personality in the transcendental world.
Okay. Okay, any comments? Okay, Rajiv Prabhu.
Prabhuji. 11.39. Vayurya Varuna Shankaha Prajati Sam Prapti Mahas Cha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasrakatam Unas Cha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste. You are the air and you are the supreme controller. You are fire. You are water and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times, and again, and yet again. Effort. The Lord is addressed here as air because the air is the most important representation of all the demigods, being all-pervasive. Arjuna also addresses Krishna as the great grandfather because he is the father of Brahma, the first living creature in the universe.
Okay, next. Mithun Prabhu and Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji is not there, Prabhuji. I am here. I am going to read it.
Okay.
Verse number 40. Nama purastadasa tustatasti namostu te sarvat eva sarva ananta viryami tavi vikramastavam sarvam samapnoshni tatosi sarvaha. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless mind. We are all pervading in this, you are everything. Purpose. Out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he is the master of all potencies and the progress and heart superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. It is said in the Vishnu Purana 1.9.69, Yo Yamas Tavagato Deva Samikama Deva Sarvanaha Satvam Deva Jagatas Srashta Yataha Sarva Gato Bhavana. Whoever comes before you, even if he be a demigod, is created by you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay. Comments? Okay, next. Sakhetimatva prasabham yad uktam he krishna he yadava he sakheti ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranayena vapi yashchavaha sartam asatkritvasi viharasayasana bhojaneshu ekothapapi achutya tat samaksham tat shamaya tvam aham apramayam. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relax, lay on the same bed or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. Although Krishna is manifested before Arjuna in his universal form, Arjuna remembers his friendly relationship with Krishna and is therefore asking pardon and requesting Krishna to excuse him for the many informal gestures which arise out of friendship. He is admitting that formerly he did not know that Krishna could assume such a universal form, although Krishna explained it as his intimate friend. Arjuna did not know how many times he may have dishonored Krishna by addressing him, "Oh my friend, O Krishna, O Yadava," without acknowledging his opulence. But Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as friend. Such is the transcendental loving association between the devotee and the Lord. The relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten, as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna. So this is one of the verses where Arjuna is actually expressing his awe and reverence to the Lord. So his quality of friendship is actually covered here. That's why Acharya say that he has lesser intensity of friendship than the coward boys of Raj. So the coward boys, they never repent or they never think that Krishna is actually the supreme personality of Godhead, or he is the supreme truth, or he is Vishnu. Although they are aware of that, you know, in certain pastimes Krishna is revealing to them and then they become aware of that, but immediately they are covered by the yogmaya potency, so then they don't start repenting about it. They immediately forget that, and they immediately they will recognize, well, you know, Krishna is actually their friend. And similarly, Mother Yashoda also, she will think that Krishna is his son. Is her son, you know, and even in the pastime of where Krishna is showing that universe to Mother Yashoda. So that time she does get a bit, you know, awed by the manifestation of the universal form inside the mouth of Krishna. But she is just thinking that, you know, maybe this is some kind of miracle or magic, or, you know, some kind of my son is actually blessed with the potency of Vishnu or like that. But immediately she is covered by the Ruguma potency and she forgets everything and she says, well, I don't know anything, I don't care about anything, Krishna is my son, like that. But in this relationship, Arjuna does kind of realize that Krishna is actually the supreme personality, and therefore he is actually begging forgiveness from the Lord. So it is like, you know, he is mixing his Sakya Ras with wine reverence. So the residents of the Dwarka, they have relationship with Krishna in the mood of wine reverence. Aishwarya Bhav is there, Aishwarya Gyan is there. That's why their Rasa is covered. So Yudhishthira Maharaj has, you know, he might have feeling of Vatsala Bhav for the Lord, and probably to some degree, some Sakya Bhav also, but that is covered with Aishwarya Gyan. And similarly, Bhim, Nakul Sahadev, they have more of Dasya Bhav, because they are junior to the Lord. But these Rasas and Bhavas, they are all covered with Aishwarya Bhav, with awe and reverence, you know, considering Krishna is actually the supreme personality of Godhead. Now, obviously, there is a difference between Dasya Bhav in Vraj and Dasya Bhav in Dwarka and Mathura. So, in Vraj, everything is very sweet. They all feel that Krishna is just a ordinary coward boy, like that. That is the feeling in Vraj. So, everything is sweet about the Lord. But in Vaikuntha and then in more in Dwarka, you know, this Aishwarya Bhav is more covered. I mean, sorry, it is more manifested. So that's why they feel that they might, you know, they are making some kind of offense. Now, obviously, in Vaikuntha, the only Rasya, the only highest category of Rasa that exists in Vaikuntha for a Jiva is that of Satya Ras, and that is also manifested in Lord Ramchandra's abode in Ayodhya. But in Vaikuntha, primarily it is mostly Dasya Bhav. Majority is Dasya Bhav. And Sakya Bhav only develops in Ayodhya. And that too, it is not complete. Obviously, there is again a lot of awe and reverence. Okay? So, is this clear? Any question or comment?
So, probably then Vaikuntha is higher than Golok Dham because there everybody has Dasya Bhav, whereas in Golok Dham, that may not be so, no?
No, Vaikuntha, Dasya Bhav is the lowest.
We have
Madhurya Ras in Dwarka. See, that, okay, Dasya basically, everyone is a servant of Krishna. There is no doubt about it. Even Madhurya Ras devotees or Vatsala Bhav devotees, they are all thinking they are serving Krishna, they are servants of Krishna. They are servants of the Vrajvasis. They are servants of other devotees. So that is a common phenomena. And one more thing is there that, but their Dasya Bhav or their feeling of servitude is expressed in a different form. So it is expressed in the form of parental affection, expressed in the form of Balaram's affection is also expressed in a different way. Then the coward boy is expressed in Sakya Ras. So, The meaning of servant is that you want to serve the object of worship. Now, how you serve the object of worship, that is how the Lord is going to decide for us. So, when it comes to the different rasas, bhavs, then all of them are serving the Lord in different ways, in different categories. And this is the desire of the Lord, like that, they are serving. So, and another thing is that as you go above, you know, all the rasas are included, all the previous rasas are all included in the higher rasa. So, for example, Dasya Bhav contains Shanta Bhav. Then Sakya Bhav contains Dasya Bhav as well as Shanta Bhav. Then Vatsala Bhav will also contain Sakya Bhav in it, along with other two. And then Madhurya contains all four. Okay. So, the principle of being the servant of the Lord is common. But in Vaikuntha, it is only manifested in terms of taking the position of a servant of the Lord or, you know, expressing oneself as the Das, master and servant relationship, where there is a lot of awe and reverence, feeling that the Supreme is actually the Supreme Lord, the object of worship is the Supreme Lord. But in Vraj, the object of worship is actually not Supreme. There is a difference. So, the intensity of that prema, it becomes very intense because there is an intimacy in the relationship, which is not there in Vaikuntha. Okay, is this clear?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, for example, you yourself are serving your wife, your children, right? So you are also a servant, technically, but your relationship with your wife is Madhurya and with your children is, you know, Vatsalya, like that.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So we are all servants only, obviously, but we express that service attitude in a different form according to Krishna's desire, like that.
So it's servant, being a servant with a different type of rasa. Yes.
Yeah, so Yashoda Maya will chastise Krishna, she will scold Krishna, the gopis will make fun of Krishna, coward boys make fun of Krishna, they will wrestle with Krishna, they will try to pull his ears, they'll make fun of him. So this is all very intimate, you know, and but we are all doing as a service to the Lord to make him happy, because he wants that relationship. So it is more intimate, you know, as you go above, it becomes more and more intimate.
So this rasa is also a characteristic of the sampradaya. I mean, the sampradaya, each different sampradaya carries a different rasa. That is true, like Sri sampradaya will be predominantly having devotees with the dasya rasa, whereas here there will be more intimacy, something like that.
Yeah. So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can attain. See, when you catch a train to Churchgate, all other stations are also included in that. So the train stops at all the stations, right? So it is your will where you want to get down, right? So similarly, the train of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes up to Goloka. But if your wish is to get down at Vaikuntha and accept that mood, then you can accept it. Whereas Sri Sampradaya is limited to Vaikuntha, so it cannot go to Goloka. So, like, you know, for example, a train which is only running till Bandra, so they cannot go beyond Bandra. The people in the train cannot go beyond that. So like that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's train is, you know, reaching the highest level, like that. So now, and it is reaching the highest level, and he is also offering the highest level of rasa. So it is up to us whether we want that or not, or whether. So everyone has a flavor with the Lord. You know, we have because we are all individuals, so we have a unique relationship with the Lord. And so, depending on the spontaneous rasa that is going to manifest in your heart, you will go to that place accordingly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Any other question? Okay, next. Yeah, Sudhamai Mataji.
43. Pitasi lokasya characharasya tamasya pujasya gurungariyan natasamosti abhyatika kudonyo lokatraye api apradima prabhava. You are the father of this complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and non-moving. You are his worshipable chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is greater than you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then could there be anyone greater than you within the three worlds? O Lord of immeasurable power. Purport. The supreme personality of Godhead Krishna is worshipable as father, is worshipable for his son. As a father is worshipable for his son. He is the spiritual master because he originally gave the Vedic instructions to Brahma, and presently he is also instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore, he is the original spiritual master, and any bona fide spiritual master at the present moment must be resident in the line of disciplic succession stemming from Krishna. Without being a representative of Krishna, one cannot become a teacher or spiritual master of transcendental subject matter. The Lord is being paid obeisances in all respects. He is of immeasurable greatness. No one can be greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, because no one is equal to or greater than Krishna within any manifestation, spiritual or material. Everyone is below him. No one can excel him. This is stated in the Shaivavatara Upanishad 6.8. Natasya karyam karanam navityade natasamas chabhyadhyadhikas chadrishtyade. The Supreme Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man. But for him, there is no difference between his senses, his body, his mind and himself. Foolish persons who do not perfectly know him say that Krishna is different from his soul, mind, heart and everything else. Krishna is absolute. Therefore, his activities and potencies are supreme. It is also stated that although he does not have senses like ours, he can perform all sensory activities. Therefore, his senses are neither imperfect nor limited. No one can be greater than him, no one can be equal to him, and everyone is lower than him. The knowledge, strength, and activities of Supreme Personality are all transcendental. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvadaha Tetva deham puna chenma neti mam eti so Arjuna. Whoever knows Krishna's transcendent body, activities and perfection after quitting this body returns to him and does not come back again to this miserable world. Therefore, one should know that Krishna's activities are different from others. Thus, the best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna. That will make one perfect. It is also stated that there is no one who is master of Krishna. Everyone is a servant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5.14, 5.142 confirms Ekali Ishwara Krishna Are Sabha Vritya. Only Krishna is God and everyone else is his servant. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his superintendence. As stated in Brahma Samhita, he is the cause of all causes. Krishna.
Yeah. Okay, any question from this? Okay. So whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body activities and perfection after quitting the body returns to him and doesn't come back to the material world or to this miserable world, right? So now, do we know Krishna's transcendental body activities? Do we know? So how many of us can claim that we know Krishna's transcendental aspects? How many of us? What is the meaning of when it is stated here, whoever knows Krishna's transcendental, you know, this thing? What is the meaning of that? No one knows? Prabhuji, can you please repeat the question? Yeah, so here it is mentioned that whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body activities, they will quit the body, they will go back to him, they will not come back. So now what is the meaning of knowing Krishna's transcendental body activities? Do we know that? Do we know Krishna's transcendental body activities? So what is the meaning of this statement? Are we aware? Do we know in complete Krishna's transcendental body activities and all?
By doing devotional service, Krishna will reveal to us.
Okay. But how does Krishna is revealing to us? Devotional service, yeah, we do. Oh, Krishna. But then, what is Krishna revealing to us, basically?
Whoever knows Krishna's transcendental body, is this reference to Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah, you can say like that. You know, it can refer to Bhagavatam also because. Okay, so now let's say if it is the Bhagavatam, then now what is the Bhagavatam giving us? What is the Bhagavatam teaching us? What information Bhagavatam is giving us?
About the leelas of Lord, his activities.
But that we also knew from, you know, earlier also, like, you know, without going through the Bhagavatam. So from other Puranas, from the television. So what is the difference? Okay. What do you mean by Krishna's transcendental, you know, when we talk about his transcendental characteristics, what do you understand and what do you mean? No one? How many of you have read Krishna book?
I have read.
Okay, and how many times you have read?
One.
One time, like full? Have you read full?
Full. Yeah, I read full.
Okay. And any other devotees have you read? So what is given in the Krishna book?
I think it starts with why Krishna came when all the demigods had...
Let's try to answer this question, that why did Prabhupada give Krishna book? Because anyways, you know, Krishna book is part of 10th canto basically. And one thing is there that, you know, Prabhupada was not sure whether he'll be able to complete the entire Bhagavatam. And he did not complete also. But what was the need to give Krishna separately when it was already there in the Bhagavatam?
I think it is more easily readable because there are no shlokas here. It's more like a storybook.
Okay. Storybook, yeah. Okay, but what is there in that storybook? Like, how does Prabhupada present Krishna?
Without any ambiguity, is stated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes across through his whatever Krishna has done when he was through his leela that he did. That is
okay.
His childhood.
See, we are not just referring to the leelas. Okay, leelas are common. Leelas, everyone is representing. Even non-devotees, Mayavadis also, they talk about Krishna leela. They will speak about it. But what is the difference between hearing from a pure devotee and from a non-devotee or a non-bona fide person? What is the difference?
Purity.
Okay, purity is there, but then, okay, so how does he manifest that purity? What is he doing basically? I don't know why all the devotees are thinking, it's so simple. So a pure devotee or a devotee in parampara, a genuine bona fide devotee in our sampradaya, will explain Krishna's transcendental characteristic as it is, or as they have heard from the Lord, you know, like coming in the chain of decision succession. So what Prabhupada is doing, he's providing sambandh gyan. He's providing Sambandhyan and so this Sambandhyan is connected to the... See, there are two types of... If you all remember, we were discussing this at some point of time in the past, that there are two considerations. One is the Tattva Vichar and one is the Apar Vichar. The Apar Vichar is connected to the Leelas of the Lord. But without understanding the tattva behind the leelas, you cannot appreciate and understand Krishna's transcendental position. Right? So, anyone can speak on the leelas. Now, when people hear about Krishna leela, what is the first thing that they would speak? They will speak about the Rasa leela. And they will think, well, you know, Krishna did Rasa leela, we also do. And we are also supposed to do that. We can imitate, you know. So people generally want to imitate the Lord. So they will they won't understand what is actually exactly Krishna. You know, many people, they have the maturity to understand Lord Rama's character. They have maturity to understand Vaman Dev's, you know, Narsingha Dev's. Everyone knows that. Okay, but when it comes to Krishna's character, many people are confused about his character, personality, and especially during the time of Mahabharata. So, you know, many think that Krishna was also a diplomat, and, you know, he also was unfair. So people have misunderstanding, and then obviously his Leela is also stealing, then, you know, dancing with the wives of the Vrajvasis. So all these things will confuse the people more. So in order to understand the Leela and the purpose behind the Leela and to establish Krishna's transcendental position, we require Samman Gyan or Tattva Vichar. So Tattva means that establishes the Tattva of the Lord. So you see, that's the reason Prabhupada, he had this eagerness to actually represent Krishna, to present Krishna to the world as he is. So you will find in the Krishna book, it's not just about Leelas. Prabhupada is actually making us understand why Krishna did like this, how he can do like this, and how the devotees, they respond like this. So everything is explained by the pure devotees. Okay, the fundamental principle behind the Leela is actually explained by the pure devotees. And that is called Tattva. You know, the Tattva of the Lord, which is Samman Gyan, basically. We have to thoroughly establish our relationship with the Lord through Samman Gyan, and we have to understand the Tattva. So when here it is talking about Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yogeti Tattvataha. So this Tattvata word is very important. Tattva Deham Punar Janma Aniti Mameti Sarjuna. So one who knows Krishna's Tattva, so that Tattva is very important. Just by knowing Krishna's Leelas, one cannot go back to God. But understanding Krishna as he is, everyone had confusion about Krishna's real characteristics, right? Like before we came to ISKCON. We had some idea that, okay, maybe Krishna is like this, like that. But then after coming to ISKCON, we actually understood who is Krishna. So Prabhupada says that Krishna means all attractive. So that made sense to us. Oh yeah, God is always all attractive, right? So Krishna is, so that's how Prabhupada is explaining the word Krishna. And then he's also defining the word Bhagwan, which means the possessor of opulences. And then, you know, he quotes Vishnu Puran and says that there are six opulences, Krishna possesses in full. So that's how we have understood the meaning of word Bhagwan and the word Krishna. And why only Krishna is actually representing the highest form of absolute truth. Because he is all attractive. That's the meaning of the word. Okay. So, and then after that, we have discussed, the acharyas have explained, and we have read in Bhagavatam and so many other books, and we have heard from pure devotees the reasoning behind Krishna's Leelas and the tattva of those Leelas. Okay, that we have understood. So we understood that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees are actually the energies of the Lord. And because of the energy being inseparable from the Lord, so obviously the Lord has the right to enjoy or to dominate over his energy. Right? So actually, you know, and then we know that everyone is actually coming from Krishna. He is the source of everything. So obviously, he can enjoy with anyone. And then we also understood that we are not the bodies, we are the spirit soul. That's why there is no question of enjoying in terms of physical lust. It is happening on a transcendental platform. And what is the real meaning of love, we understood, you know, by Prabhupada's, you know, explanation in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. So the acharyas are taking that pain to make us understand and explain the real tattva of Krishna, the real knowledge we are sharing with us behind Krishna's activities, and who is Krishna, like that. So that is, if one can understand that thing, and if one has complete faith in that, then they can go back to Godhead. Okay, so is this clear? Any comment or question? So as I said earlier also, that the Sambandhyan is so vast knowledge that Jiva Goswami has written 4 Sandarbhas dedicated to this Sambandhyan. And one is for Abhide, and the last one is for Prayojan. Right? So the more you understand about Krishna, try to understand about him, the more you will actually gain deeper understanding about his transcendental characteristics, like that. Okay? So, okay, next verse. Angel Mataji and Prabhuji.
तस्मात् प्रणय प्रनिधाय कयाम प्रसादये त्वाम अहम इशम इदम हितेव पुत्रस्य तथेव साक्षु प्रिय प्रिया हरसि देव सोधम सोधि. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus, I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of his friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. Perfect. Krishna's devotees relate to Krishna in various relationships. One might treat Krishna as a son, or one might treat Krishna as a husband, as a friend, or as a master. Krishna and Arjuna are related in friendship. As the father tolerates, or the husband, or a master tolerates, so Krishna tolerates.
Okay, see, basically, the Vaishnava school of thoughts, so they explain Bhagwan with relation to his potencies or Shakti. So they say that Bhagwan has Shakti. But the Mayavadis, they say that there is no Shakti. There is only absolute truth. And that's why there is no variety. So this is a very important point, that the Lord in Vaishnava school of thoughts is explained as with regards to his potencies, Shakti. So Shakti and Shaktiman. And because of the Shakti and Shaktiman, there is variety and there is Leelas and everything. If the Lord does not have Shakti, because Shakti, that's how, see, there is the external energy, there is the internal energy, there is the marginal energy. And everyone is expansion of these 3 energies. Nothing is beyond that. So if you remove the energy of the Lord, you have impersonal form of the Lord. So there is nothing. So that's the reason Mayavad says that everything is actually Maya. Okay. And, the Supreme Absolute Truth is Brahman. So this is a very important principle, and this is a very important tattva of how the Vaishnavas explain the meaning of Bhagavan. Okay. Yeah, next, Rajiv Prabhu.
Avrishta purvam hrishitosni jashtva naena chaitan ravya phitam manome eva me dashya deva rupam sasida devesha jagam nivasya. After seeing its universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. Okay. Arjuna is always in confidence with Krishna because he is a very dear friend, and as a dear friend is gladdened by his friend's opulence. Arjuna is very glad that his friend Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and can show such a wonderful universal form. But at the same time, after seeing that universal form, he is afraid that he has committed so many offenses to Krishna or his unalloyed friendship. Thus, his mind is disturbed out of fear, although he has no reason to fear. Arjuna, therefore, is asking Krishna to show his Narayan form because he can assume any form. This universal form is material and temporary, as the material world is temporary. But in the Vaikuntha planets, he has his transcendental form with four hands of Narayan. There are innumerable planets in the spiritual sky, and in each of them, Krishna is present by his plenary manifestations of different names. Thus, Arjuna desires to see one of the forms manifested for the planets, of course, in each Vaikuntha planet, the form of Narayan is four-handed, but the four hands hold different arrangements of symbols, a conch shell, a mace, lotus, and disc. According to the different hands, these four things are held in, the Narayanas are variously named. All of these forms are one with Krishna, therefore Arjuna requests to see his four-handed feature.
Yeah. So this material, universal form is actually material and temporary, and it does not exist actually eternally. It is just manifested. So the 400 form is actually eternal, and this is what Arjuna wants to see. But superior to this form is the 200 form. Okay. Because after this, you know, he will request the Lord to come back in his original form. Okay. Any comment or question?
I have joined Prabhuji.
Oh, okay. Okay, next, Jigna Mati.
Okay. Verse number 46. कीर्तिनम्गदिनम् चक्रहस्तम् इच्छामि सांद्रुष्टमहं तथैव तथैव रूपेण चतुर्भुजेन सहस्रबाहो भव विश्वमूर्ते.
Translation. O universal form, O thousand arm Lord, I wish to see you in your four arm form, with helmet headed, with club, helmet head and with club, will conch and lotus flower in your hand. I long to see you in that form. Purpose. In the Brahma Sahita 5.39, it is stated, Ramadi Murti Tu Kalan Niyamena Sithan. The Lord is eternally situated in hundreds and thousands of forms, and in the main forms are those like Rama, Narasimha, Narayana, etc. There are innumerable forms, but Arjuna knew that Krishna is the original personality of the Godhead, assuming his temporary universal form. He is now asking to see the form of Narayana, a spiritual form. This was established without any doubt that the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is originally personality, original personality of the Godhead and all other creatures originate from him. He is not different from his plenary expansions, and he is God in any of his innumerable forms. In all of his forms, he is fresh like a young man. That is a constant feature of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. One who knows Krishna becomes free at once from all contamination of material world. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, okay. Any question? Next. Chintamani Mataji, would you like to read?
Prabhuji, which verse?
47.
श्री भगवान वाच मया प्रसन्न वर्जुनेदम रूपं परम दर्शितमात्यम योगात तेजोमयम विश्वमनात्मात्यम यन्नेत्वदयेन न दृष्टपूर्वं. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. Arjuna wanted to see the universal form of the Supreme Lord, so Lord Krishna, out of his mercy upon his devotee Arjuna, showed his universal form full of effulgence.
We're sorry, but some participants' teams are working to resolve this as quickly as possible.
Hare Krishna. This form was manifested by Krishna through his internal potency, which is inconceivable by human speculation. No one has seen this universal form of the Lord before Arjuna. But because the form was shown to Arjuna, other devotees in the heavenly planets and in other planets in outer space could also see it. They had not seen it before. But because of Arjuna, they were also able to see it. In other words, all the disciplined devotees of the Lord could see the universal form which was shown to Arjuna by the mercy of Krishna. Someone has commented that this form was shown to Duryodhana also, when Krishna went to Duryodhana to negotiate for peace. Unfortunately, Duryodhana did not accept the peace offer, but at that time Krishna manifested some of his universal forms. But those forms are different from this one shown to Arjuna. It is clearly said that no one had ever seen this form before.
Yeah, interesting. That before this, obviously, he had shown this to Arjuna, but that was Duryodhana. But that universal form was quite limited, and this was like the complete, or you can say, the most extended version of the universal form. So, I mean, there are different universal forms in different features. So, depending on that, the Lord is distributing. So he's showing different forms to different demigods, devotees, non-devotees, like that. Okay. Any comment?
Okay, Mataji. Yeah. Probably it mentions in the verse that because of Arjuna, other devotees can also see that spiritual form, universal form, probably. But I believe that only Arjuna had transcendental eyes, right? The Divya Chakshu. So how come other devotees can see it from you?
So Sanjay also saw that. And probably Dhritarashtra also was able to see that. Although he had no eyes, but he could obviously see through his imagination. And and as it is described, that the residents of heavenly planets also saw. So it is possible that, you know, some of them are devotees also. And generally it is mentioned that demigods are kind of devotees, like Indra is considered to be a devotee also. So in that sense, you know, like they were able to see. And obviously the specific devotees of the Lord could see means, you know, there must be some sages also who are pure devotees, like Vyasdev. Because Vyasdev was the one who actually gave this Divya Chakshu to Sanjay, right? So obviously, when Sanjay could see that, Vyasdev could also see that. So like that, you know, all these devotees were coming in the civic succession also. They could see. Like that. Yeah. So, but obviously, you know, this the Lord made Arjuna the instrument to show other devotees also this universal form. Okay.
But except him and Sanjay, nobody else saw on the battlefield.
Huh?
Except him on the battlefield, nobody else saw.
Yeah. See, it is Sanjay obviously saw that. Dhritarashtra probably, I think so, he also saw that. But, you know, one thing is interesting here that Prabhupada is mentioning that the devotees, the specific devotees they saw, and other from the, you know, heavenly planets also saw that. But like till now, you know, we have not come across, or if I, you know, I don't remember that it is mentioned that the Pandavas also saw that. In fact, as far as I recollect, only Arjuna saw that. I don't know if Yudhishthira and Bhima and Nakula Sahadeva also saw that form. So, because, you know, in the universal form that was shown to Duryodhana, that time all the demons could not see that. Only the devotees could see. So Bhishma Pitama also could see. And so I'm not sure about that, whether the Pandavas also got to see that form. And Bhishma Pitama also got to see, like according to what I saw in Mahabharata television, that, you know, the first Mahabharata television show, Bhishma was also not able to see that. And so he just, you know, describes to Duryodhana that, you know, what a wonderful event is taking place. The Lord is speaking to, even if I can get a glimpse or if I get to hear one letter from that discussion, you know, my life will be successful. Something like that I heard, I've seen in Mahabharata. So it seems that, and then, you know, I don't know if Bhishma and, you know, Pandavas, they were able to see. But certain sages, obviously, because they are Sriral Jnani, like Narad Muni, Vyas, Ved Vyas, obviously, I think they were able to see these things. Yeah. Okay. Next. Na veda yajna dhyana na dhanir na cha kriya vi na tapo virugre evam rupa sakya aham viloke sistam tvar anye na kuru pravira. Oh, best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mind. For neither by the studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in the material world. The divine vision in this connection should be clearly understood. Who can have divine vision? Divine means godly. Unless one attains the status of divinity as demigod, he cannot have divine vision. And what is a demigod? It is stated in scriptures that those who are devotees of Vishnu are demigods. Vishnu Bhakta Svito Daiva. Those who are atheistic, who do not believe in Vishnu, who recognize only the impersonal part of Krishna as supreme, cannot have the divine vision. It is not possible to decry Krishna and at the same time have the divine vision. One cannot have the divine vision without becoming divine. In other words, those who have divine vision can also see like Arjuna. The Bhagavad Gita gives the description of the universal form. Although this description was unknown to everyone before Arjuna, no one can have some idea of the Vishwarupa after this incident. Those who are actually divine can see the universal form of the Lord. But one cannot be divine without being a pure devotee of Krishna. The devotees, however, who are actually in the divine nature and who have divine vision are not very much interested in seeing the universal form of the Lord. As described in the previous verse, Arjuna desired to see the four-handed form of Lord Krishna as Vishnu, and he was actually afraid of the universal form. In this verse, there are some significant words, just like Veda Yajna Vyaya Yena, which refers to studying Vedic literature and the subject matter of sacrificial regulations. Veda refers to all kinds of Vedic literature, such as the four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sam, Atharva, and the 18 Puranas, the Upanishad, and the Vedanta Sutra. One can study these at home or anywhere else. Similarly, there are sutras, Kalpa Sutras and Mimamsa Sutras, for studying the method of sacrifice. Dana refers to charity which is offered to a suitable party, such as those who are engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Similarly, pious activities refer to the Agni Hotra and the prescribed duties of the different castes. And the voluntary acceptance of some bodily pains is called tapasya. So one can perform all these. One can accept bodily penances, give charity, study the Vedas. But unless he is a devotee like Arjuna, it is not possible to see that universal form. Those who are impersonalists are also imagining that they are seeing the universal form of the Lord. But from Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the impersonalists are not devotees. Therefore, they are unable to see the universal form of the Lord. There are many persons who create incarnations. They falsely claim an ordinary human to be an incarnation, but this is all foolishness. We should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, otherwise there is no possibility of attaining perfect spiritual knowledge. Although Bhagavad Gita is considered the preliminary study of the science of God, still it is so perfect that it enables one to distinguish what is what. The followers of a Asura incarnation may say they have also seen the transcendental incarnation of God, universal form, but that is unacceptable because it is clearly stated here that unless one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one cannot see the universal form of God. So one, first of all, has to become pure devotee of Krishna, then he can claim that he can show the universal form of what he has seen. Devotee of Krishna cannot accept false incarnations or followers of false incarnations. Okay. Any question on this? Okay, next. Yeah. Angel Mathani.
You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished, my devotee. Be free again from all disturbances with a peaceful mind. You can now see the form you desire. Perfect. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was worried about killing Bhishma and Drona, his worshipful grandfather and master. But Krishna said that he need not be afraid of killing his grandfather. When the sons of Dhritarashtra tried to disrobe Draupadi in the assembly of the Kuris, Bhishma and Drona were silent, and for such negligence, the duty of duty, they should be killed. Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna just to show him that these people were already killed for their unlawful actions. That scene was shown to Arjuna because devotees are always peaceful and they cannot perform such horrible actions. The purpose of the revelation of the universal form was shown. Now Arjuna wanted to see the four-armed form and Krishna showed him. A devotee is not much interested in the universal form, for it does not enable one to reciprocate loving feelings. Either a devotee wants to offer his respectful worshipful feelings, or he wants to see the two-handed Krishna form so that he can reciprocate in loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So devotees are not interested in universal form because they cannot exchange reciprocation from the Lord. Right? So, I mean, does this make sense? Or one can think that, okay, one can also have a relationship with the universal form of the Lord.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously this is a ghastly form of the Lord also. At the same time, it's also a wonderful form, both combined together. But we cannot, you know, because it has everything. And it is also infinite. So how do you serve that, you know, form? And how the form will reciprocate with you? Because it is inclusive of everything that you see in the material world and spiritual world like that. I mean, not the spiritual realm, but, you know, especially this is the material form of the Lord. So whatever there is in the material world, you all can see that in that form. Right? So there is no question of a transcendental reciprocation. Right? This makes sense to everyone? Anyone who is a devotee of universal form of the Lord, will have to create another rasa beyond Shanta. Okay. Next. Yeah, next. Rajiv Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, I think he's fallen off the street.
Really?
Get up
after hearing the universal form description.
No, I think he's traveled a lot today.
Okay. Jigna Madhuri.
Okay, Prabhuji.
verse number 50. Sanjayo Vacha Iti Arjunam Vacha Devastatva Vaktam Rupam Darshayama Asasuyaha Aswasayam Asacha Pitam Enam Putva Punaha Saumya Vakura Mahatma. Sanjay said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Krishna, having spoken this to Arjuna, declared his real four-arm form and at last spoke his two-arm form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. When Krishna appeared as the son of the Vasudevana Devaki, he first of all appeared as a four-armed Narayan, but when he was requested by his parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child in appearance. Similarly, Krishna knew that Arjuna was not interested in seeing the four-handed form. But since Arjuna asked to see this four-handed form, Krishna also showed him this form again and then showed himself in his two-handed form. The word Saumya Vapuhu is very significant. Saumya Vapuhu is a very beautiful form. It is known as the most beautiful form. When he was present, everyone was attracted simply by Krishna's form. And because Krishna is the director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again his beautiful form of Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is stated, Prema Jnana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so see, this is the key. This verse is actually the key to understand that how Krishna's two-arm form is actually the most superior form. Because even after seeing the four-arm form, Arjun was actually not so much satisfied. And then, so when he saw the Lord in his 200 form, he was completely satisfied. So this actually shows that how Krishna's 200 form is superior to 400, and the 400 form is superior to the universal form. Okay. Yeah, so this shows how Krishna is actually the incarnation of Vishnu. He is actually superior to Vishnu also. Next. Chintamani Mataji. Neeraj, are you there? Hare Krishna, Neeraj Prabhu. Okay, Chintamani Mataji, you can continue.
Text 51. Arjuna Uvacha Vishwa Vedam Manusham Rupam Tava Samyam Janardana Idani Masmi Samvrittaha Sachetaha Prakritim Gataha. Translation. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. Purport. Here the words Manusham Rupam clearly indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally two-handed. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and again to show the four-handed Narayan form? So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that while Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking, is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentary on Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators.
Hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Right, so here also, Arjuna is actually praising the 200 form, most satisfying, most pleasing form. Okay, next. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Sudurdarsham Idam Rupam Dishtavan Asiyan Mama Deva Api Asya Rupasya Nityam Darshanakam Shina. The Supreme Personality of Godhead might said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mind you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. So these are all Shastra Pramans, where the Lord is actually stating from Bhagavad Gita that this 200 form is actually most difficult to behold. That means it is the most superior form of the Lord. In the 48th verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna concluded revealing his universal form and informed Arjuna that this form is not possible to be seen by so many pious activities, sacrifices, etc. Now here the word Sudurdarsham is used, indicating that Krishna's 200 form is still more confidential. One may be able to see the universal form of Krishna by adding a little tinge of devotional service to various activities like penances, Vedic study and philosophical speculation. It may be possible, but without tinge of bhakti, one cannot see. That has already been explained. Still beyond the universal form, the form of Krishna with two hand forms is more difficult to see, even for demigods like Brahma and Shiva. They desire to see him. And we have evidence in the Bhagavatam that when he was supposed to be in the womb of his mother Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna and they offered nice prayers to the Lord. Although he was not at that time visible to them, they waited to see him. A foolish person may deride him, thinking him an ordinary person, and many offer respect not to him but to the impersonal something within him. But these are all nonsensical postures. Krishna's two-armed form is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also confirmed, Avarjananti Mam Mura Manushim Tanu Mashtitam. He is not visible to the foolish persons who deride him. Krishna's body, as confirmed by Brahma Samhita and confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, is completely spiritual and full of bliss and eternality. His body is never like a material body. But for some who make a study of Krishna by reading the Bhagavad Gita or similar Vedic scriptures, Krishna is a problem. For one using material process, Krishna is considered to be the great historical personality and very learned philosopher. But he is an ordinary man, and even though he was so powerful, he had to accept the material body. For one using material process. Okay, and ultimately they think that absolute truth is impersonal. Therefore, they think that from his impersonal feature, he assumed a personal feature attached to material nature. This is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme Lord. Another calculation is speculative. Those who are in search of knowledge who speculate on Krishna and consider him to be less important than the universal form of the Lord. According to them, the personal form of Supreme is something imaginable. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person. But the transcendental process is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, to hear about Krishna from authorities. This is the actual Vedic process, and those who are actually in Vedic line hear about Krishna from authority, and by repeated hearing about him, Krishna becomes clear. As we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by his yogamaya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. So transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for demigods. Therefore, it is difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna, and the advanced demigods are always in hope of seeing Krishna in his 200 form. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone, everyone, it is still more difficult to understand his personal form as Shyam Sundar. Yeah, so here it is clearly mentioned that the 200 form is even more confidential, most confidential. And if you remember, in the most confidential chapter, at the end, I did share this information that what is the most confidential knowledge? That Krishna is asking Arjuna to surrender to this form of the Lord as Krishna, not as Vishnu. Okay, and so here the same thing is also being evident, that the 200 form is the most superior form. Now the question is that Prabhupada already answers the question that, you know, universal form is rarely seen, and only some of them can see. And then Prabhupada says that if you have devotion, even if you have a tinge of devotion, you are able to see the universal form. So now the question is that Arjuna is, you know, he already saw Krishna. You know, like he already saw Krishna earlier, and now he's seeing it. So how is that so difficult for anyone to see the 200 form of the Lord? Many of the demons and many of the demigods, they were also seeing the 200 form of Krishna. So then why here it is mentioned that this is more confidential, it's more difficult to behold, and even demigods are seeking opportunity. Why? Everyone got the question? Hari Bol?
Please repeat.
Yeah, so why it is more difficult to see Krishna in 200 form? Why it is said like that? Because anyways, everyone was seeing Krishna. No, before this Bhagavad Gita, and everyone was seeing Krishna as 200 forms. Arjuna, Duryodhana, then Dvakra, Shishupal, then Indra, Brahma, Shiva. But universal form, he's showing it for the first time. And no one saw that form before the Lord is revealing to Arjuna. So actually speaking, universal form is something which is, we are seeing it for the first time. So why it is mentioned that this 200 form is difficult, more confidential?
Even though Duryodhana has seen the form, but he didn't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah.
We should have that Pramajana Churita Bhakti, that eyes we should have to see the Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understand like that.
Yeah, it's Angel Mataji, right?
Sudhamani Mataji.
No, Prabhupada,
that was not. Huh? Sudhamani Mataji, okay, yeah. Okay. So this we have discussed earlier. That if anyone would like to see Krishna, he can only be seen through devotion. So one can see Krishna only by devotion. And Prabhupada also here states that in the purport, that one can only see Krishna by pure devotional service to the Lord. And that is the reason, even if we are seeing Krishna, what we are seeing is actually a reflection of the Lord. We are not really seeing the Lord actually. So from the qualification of pure devotional service point of view, obviously everyone is lacking. So universal form, as Prabhupada said, that with the tinge of devotional service also you can see the universal form. But in order to see the real form of Krishna, one has to have pure devotional service. One's eye should be anointed with Premanjurite Bhakti Chulubilochanayana. With prema, eyes has to be anointed with prema, or otherwise one cannot see the real form of the Lord. So even though everyone saw Krishna in the 200 form, but they did not see him as he is. Krishna did not manifest and reveal himself to these people. He was actually manifesting his reflection to them. Okay, so that's why this 200 form is actually the most confidential and most difficult to behold. only the most pure devotees can actually, or you know, the pure devotees can see this. Okay. I hope this is clear.
So, Vijay, what about the four-handed form?
Four-handed form, yeah, that is obviously confidential also. That can also be seen, you know, through the eyes of pure devotional service. But the Krishna's form, everyone is hankering, you know, because he is more beautiful than Vishnu also. Because we know, Yuga Goswami also says that Krishna has four more qualities than Vishnu, right? So definitely Krishna's form is much more beautiful than Vishnu's form. That's why everyone is hankering for. So even you want to see Vishnu, you have to ask for devotional service. Right? But Krishna's form is more, much more, you know, it requires much more intense love, you know, like, so, yeah, I mean, the devotees should have a relationship with Krishna, like that. Okay. Next. So, I think I read this purport, right? Yeah, I read. And now, yeah, Angel Mataji.
The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. Perfect. Krishna first appeared before his parents Devaki and Vasudev in a four-handed form, and then he transformed himself into the two-handed form. This mystery is very difficult to understand for those who are atheists, or those who are devoid of devotional service. For scholars who have simply studied Vedic literature by way of grammatical knowledge or mere academic qualifications, Krishna is not possible to understand, nor is he to be understood by persons who officially go to the temple to offer worship. They make their visit, but they cannot understand Krishna as he is. Krishna can be understood only through the path of devotional service, as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse.
Yeah, so you see, you know, Prabhupada also mentioned here that, you know, even amongst devotees also, it is not so easy to understand Krishna. Krishna can only be understood through the path of devotional service, and that too, Uttama Bhakti. Rupa Goswami explained what is Uttama Bhakti. Anya Bilasita Sunyam, Yana Karma Dhyana Vritam, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilinam Bhakti Uttama. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami explained this point that, you know, pure devotional service, only by that we can actually see the Lord. So there are many people who go to the temple for worship, but then, so as you know, we are talking about Sambandhyan, and that's why a lot of people, they actually cannot understand Krishna, his tattva, his siddhant, and you know, his form, qualities and all that. For that we require to have, we have to surrender to Krishna through the process of accepting the Guru and, you know, rendering service. Then they will impart the knowledge and the truth is actually revealed to us. So that is the reason it is very important to read books, read scriptures, read Shastra. Without that, you cannot understand. So, I mean, you know, if you are hearing, then also it is good. Because, you know, when you hear, you are just hearing from a devotee who is repeating the Shastra, who is repeating Guru and Sadhus and Shastra. So you are hearing from them. So, but it is also very important to read so that we can get a very thorough understanding of the Lord. Especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these are the core books, Krishna book.
act of devotion. No, so these are extremely important. Prabhupada books are very important. In fact, you can say that Prabhupada has given the books which are the most important. He has commented on those books. If you, like Prabhupada said, four books, if you read these four books, then there is no need to read other books. I mean, it is sufficient. Okay, like, you know, obviously this is for those devotees who are unable to get time, or those who are, they don't have a habit of reading and they are not used to reading, and or probably they don't like reading. For those devotees, these four books, if they read, that is sufficient. And which are these four books? Anyone remembers which are these four books?
Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah, wonderful. Good. Yeah. So Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Nectar of Devotion. If you read these four books, you will get the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And whatever you require to know, you will get in these four books. Okay? So, I hope that, you know, all the devotees are reading books regularly, Prabhupada's books regularly, every day. Yeah, that's the way we will actually understand, you know, the reality of Krishna, the truth about Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, and Bhagavatam is actually the body of Krishna, so it's the form of the Lord. And that's how will be revealed the truth about Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So every devotee should try to finish these four books. And if they don't have interest for reading other books, then they can continue reading these four books again and again. Okay, any question? Okay, let's continue with the next two verses next time, because these are big purports, and obviously we want to go through it properly, not rush through it, because, you know, it's a very important verse. Bhaktya mam. So Krishna is actually here saying Bhaktyatva Ananya Shakya Aham Eva Vidho Arjuna. Krishna is saying, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you, and can be thus seen directly. Right? So this is a very important verse. We'll discuss next time. Any last question, comment? Okay. So today is 2nd. Next week will be 9th. Yeah, okay. Mostly we'll be continuing on 9th March, Saturday. So I request again, you know, all the devotees that please be on time. At least we want to start latest by 9:15, unless, you know, unless there is some, you know, if I'm caught up in certain things and unable to join by that time, then, you know, I mean, I try my best so that we can start by 9:15, but so we don't want to go late. You know, whenever I'm messaging, please call after this time or after, you know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Then whichever devotee is ready, they should start calling. They should not wait for others to call, thinking that, well, I will join after everyone will start calling. You know, that is not the right way. So one can keep, you know, start calling, and, you know, one can join. And gradually everyone will then join on time. Okay? And so we'll try to stick to the time, you know, 9:15, as much as possible. Okay. Please mark in your attendance sheet also regularly, update. And Chintamani Mataji, I wanted to request you that can you also add Vandana Mataji in that list?
Okay.
So even she is requested to update in the sheet whenever she joined. Okay. Okay, any question about that? Okay, I think the question answer session we might have on Monday, probably this Monday. So, okay. All right, thank you all the devotees. Yeah, for joining Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam to everyone.
Hare Krishna. Dhanavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.